This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Zatenberg back here with you, Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live. We're watching Sunday Night Baseball between the New York Yankees and the Philadelphia Phillies, where we have a bet pending on the first five innings. We have the Philadelphia Phillies minus a half a run in the first five innings that looked like it was going to be a no-sweat rocking chair winner. But not getting sweaty just yet, but it's interesting. The Phillies took a 6-0 lead over the New York Yankees into the top of the fifth inning. The Yankees have plated three runs across here in the fifth and do have a runner on second with two outs. Christopher Sanchez still in the game for the Phillies. He has gone 4 2/3 innings, allowed all three runs earned on five hits, three walks, and five strikeouts. Meanwhile, Will Warren got the start for the New York Yankees in three innings, gave up all six runs earned on six hits, two walks, five strikeouts, one home run allowed. We did cash a bet at plus 265 early in this game, the race to three strikeouts, betting Will Warren against Christopher Sanchez. We also cashed the over 1.5 walks for Yankee pitcher Will Warren. And now we also have a live bet pending on the over 10.5. And now with the Yankees scoring three runs in the top of the fifth inning, we are well on our way. Live line right now between the Phillies and the Yankees, live total, excuse me, is at 13.5. We need two more runs to cash our live total, but let's just get this last out of the fifth inning so we can cash our Phillies first five minus a half a run as they have a 6-3 lead with two outs here in the top of the fifth inning. We'll update you on this game as it progresses with any more live betting opportunities that may present itself. We talked last segment with Bill Bender from Sporting News about college football. SEC Media Days was this past week. A lot of big storylines coming out of the SEC where it just means more. Big Ten Media Days will kick off this week where it is a loaded conference with the defending national champs, we know, and defending national champs the year before that and the year before that, right? So we know how good the Big Ten is. Ohio State is your betting favorite to win the national title at plus 600. Notre Dame is the second favorite at plus 650. And I've gone on record saying that Notre Dame is my pick to win the national title because their schedule is extremely manageable. Behind Notre Dame and Ohio State, you're looking at the usual suspects, right? Georgia out of the SEC is going to get a lot of love. Texas getting a lot of love here in the futures market. You have Indiana, of course, the defending national champs. And listen, to beat the champs, you got to beat the champs. Oregon out of the Big Ten getting a lot of love as well for their returning production. So those are your top favorites to win the national championship in college football. A couple of things that I was looking at as I started to do my college football prep. I was looking at strength of schedule for this year. Now, ESPN did their, football power index, the FPI, ranking their strength of schedules for this coming season. The number one most difficult schedule in college football this year, according to ESPN's FPI, is the Arkansas Razorbacks, followed by Oklahoma and then Texas. So we're sitting here talking about Texas being the second favorite behind Georgia to win the SEC. We're talking about Texas being the third favorite behind Ohio State and Notre Dame to win the national championship. Yet they have a win total of 9.5 juiced to the under. Why? Because they have the third most difficult schedule in the country, according to ESPN's FPI. And yes, it starts with that week two game against Ohio State, where their entire season could hinge on that game. But it's not just the game against Ohio State, which, yes, they get it in Austin. That's big. But you have to go to Neyland to take on Tennessee. You have the Red River rivalry against Oklahoma. You have Ole Miss on your schedule. You have to go to LSU, which could be a night game in Death Valley. We don't know yet when that's going to be scheduled in November. So a lot of difficult games on this schedule. And according to ESPN's FBI, the third most difficult strength of schedule this coming season in college football. As far as some teams that have easy schedules, the top power conference team with the easiest schedule, because a lot of these, the ESPN FPIs, naturally the smaller conferences are going to have easier schedules because their opponents are not rated as highly as everyone else. So you're going to see a lot of Conference USA teams, a lot of MAC teams, Mountain West teams, right? Especially now that Boise is not in the Mountain West, right? It changes everything. The top power conference team that has the easiest strength of schedule. I mean, we're going all the way down the list here. I'm not even counting the Pac-12 as a power conference because San Diego State would be the team that has the easiest schedule there. But you have to scroll all the way down. Oh, my goodness. We have finally the easiest strength of schedule, which is actually the 70th most difficult schedule, but I'm going the opposite way. The top power conference team with the easiest schedule, according to ESPN's FPI, the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Texas Tech has the easiest strength of schedule, according to ESPN's FPI. And if you look at the futures market right now in the Big 12, Texas Tech is an overwhelming favorite to win the Big 12 at minus 105. BYU, the second favorite, at plus 550. Now, because of the strength or the power ratings of the Big 12 beyond Texas Tech here, you're going to start to see some other Big 12 teams pop up on the list, like Kansas State. And then you get into the ACC, where NC State and Virginia have the easiest schedule amongst the ACC teams. Here's a good one. Because it's Big Ten Media Days, let's talk Big Ten here for a second. The team with the easiest strength of schedule in the Big Ten this coming season, Penn State. The Penn State Nittany Lions, who right now are your sixth favorite to win the Big Ten championship at 20-1. 20-1. But if we look at their win total this year, the win total for Penn State is 8.5. The over is minus 166 up on DraftKings right now. Under is plus 130. With the easiest strength of schedule in the Big Ten, according to ESPN's FPI, Penn State over 8.5 feels like the play to be made. Looking at the Penn State Nittany Lions schedule, and obviously home games are going to be, they have such the advantage at home, right? It's not just because of the stadium, but it's also because going to Penn State's just like an annoying road trip, right? Like going there, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of easy to get lost in the sauce, you know, and you don't have the same type of intensity. Plus, we know in the Big Ten, once these teams make like the cross-country trips at some point, whether it's, you know, the Washingtons, the USCs, the UCLAs, all that stuff, and if they have to play in the cold weather, I don't think they have any home games late in the season against cross-country teams, so you don't have to worry about that. But they also don't travel. Penn State's longest travel is going to be going to Washington in November. I mean, the rest of their schedule, look at this. Marshall at Temple, Buffalo, Wisconsin at Northwestern, home to USC at Michigan, home to Purdue at Washington, home to Minnesota, home to Rutgers, and at Maryland. They don't travel at all. Like I said, their biggest travel is at Washington, and there's plenty of winnable home games on this schedule. Penn State, 8.5, that seems like a low number, again, based on their strength of schedule. Now, one other thing that I do with my football power ratings, I did this in the NFL last year, and it was to enormous success. And those of you who have followed along with me, whether it's on the Cashing Out show on Saturday nights as we talk NFL football for Sundays, or my Live Bet Sunday shows where we're literally live betting the NFL, you know the Trench Report. Started it last year, and it was just so successful. And what I do is I take a composite grading through multiple sources to come up with an offensive and defensive line composite ranking of teams in the NFL. And then we look at the matchups, looking at teams run blocking versus teams run defense, pass blocking versus pass rush, all that stuff. Well, I decided to do it this year for college football. Now, the only data that I have, of course, is going off of last year's numbers, and a lot of the players from last year are no longer with these programs, but there are certain teams that return a ton of production on their offensive and defensive fronts, right? So we can talk about teams that might have an edge in the trenches this year just because of the returning production, okay? Last year, Indiana was my number one trench team in college football. And again, it's a lot of it's results-based, okay, because I'm going by all the analytics stats, right? Yards gained, things like that, pass rush, pass block, win rates, all that thing. Ohio State was number two. Missouri actually graded out as my number three overall trench team. Miami 4, Texas Tech 5, Oregon 6, Texas A&M 7, Notre Dame 8, Oklahoma 9, and Utah 10. That was my top 10 final rankings of 2025. But looking at teams, look at some returning production this season, and I want to specifically focus on the offensive line here. Okay, I mentioned Ohio State on the offensive line in my grading had the number 2 overall grade. As far as their pass block, I had them at number 1 pass block team in college football last year. Number 2, and then run block was not that great. It was like 37th. But number 1 pass blocking team last year. This year, Ohio State returns a ton of their production on that offensive line. Their interior, Carson Heisman, nearly 2,000 snaps. Luke Montgomery, Austin Seerfeld, more than 2,500 snaps. Their right tackle, Philip Daniels, returns. They return their offensive line pretty much to a T from what it was last year. And that offensive line last year was the number 1 pass blocking team in my grading system. If that line produces the same way they did last year, Julian Sain is going to have a ton of time to throw. And that could lead to some big time numbers for the Ohio State quarterback. Plus 1,300 to win the Heisman Trophy. I'm just saying, Julian Sain. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, watching Sunday Night Baseball between the Phillies and the Yankees, where they are in the bottom of the fifth inning. So we have cashed our Phillies first 5 minus a half a run bet already. Phillies have a 6-3 lead over the New York Yankees. They do have runners on second and third with 2 outs, as we are hoping to cash our live bet on the over 10.5. We bet that when the Yankees had bases loaded with 2 outs and the Phillies were up 6-0. The thought process there was during a mound visit for Christopher Sanchez that if Caballero got a hit and scored a couple of runs for the Yankees, well, this game would look a lot different. And the Phillies, we expected them to continue scoring. So went ahead and bet the over 10.5. Caballero actually grounded out, so he didn't score any runs. But then in the next inning, the Yankees did plate 3 in the top of the fifth inning off of Christopher Sanchez. So we are at 6-3. 9 runs have scored here. We're in the bottom of the fifth inning. Your live total is at 13.5. So we need 2 more runs to cash this live over 10.5. And what has been a profitable night here, actually a perfect night on Sunday Night Baseball. We cashed a plus 265 wager before the game when we previewed the game, and we talked about the race to 3 strikeouts up on DraftKings for Will Warren, Yankees starting pitcher, over Christopher Sanchez. And he did win the race to 3. JT Realmuto just struck out on a pitch that was in the other batter's box. So 6-3 remains the score going to the top of the sixth inning there in Philadelphia. Anyway, not only did we cash that, we also gave out Will Warren over 1.5 walks and cashed that. And of course, the Phillies in the first 5 innings. So on our way here, of course, for the Sunday Night Baseball game. And let's just cash our live bet now on over 10.5. runs. You can always hit me up on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. We just got done talking some college football. Going to turn our attention to the NFL coming up in a bit. Our very own Nick Whalen, the co-host of Prop Points here on VSiN, of course, senior analyst over at RotoWire, will join us. And you know what's funny? We talk all the time, or a lot of content out there is about NFL teams and wanting to bet overs and looking at like the best teams in the NFL, who's going to win this division, who's going to win that division, who are teams that we're really high on, right? But what about the bad teams? What about the losing teams? What about the teams that we want to go under their win totals? What about the teams that we want to bet in the markets to have the most losses or the teams to finish last place in their divisions? We're going to talk about the bad teams in the NFL coming up with our very own Nick Whelan. Plus, we'll get his thoughts on the LeBron James move in Philadelphia. But I always think it's interesting. Like, everyone always wants to talk overs. By the way, if you're betting unders, that's where you're going to make the most money in your football futures, if you're betting unders. Whether it's player props, win totals, player props, like the unders are going to hit more than the overs. Injuries play a major factor. It's an easy way to hit an under just with an injury. But also, just the numbers are always inflated because the public loves betting overs. Everyone loves betting overs. The numbers become inflated and unders become the way to bet. Now, I understand yesterday I talked about how all Buffalo Bills props are going to go over because of the stadium design. If you missed that segment, you can go watch the clip that's on my Twitter page at Scott's On Air. But talking about how we are going to be betting a lot of overs this year in Buffalo Bills games when it's windy outside and the market suppresses the total. Everyone's going to be betting the unders because windy unders are an auto bet, right? Especially in Buffalo, windy unders. Not going to be the case this year at the new Highmark Stadium, where the technology in the design of the stadium build reduces the impact of the wind. You won't feel any wind at field level. So that's something that the public bettors aren't going to know, but now you know. That's why we're going to take advantage of some totals there in Buffalo. Christopher Sanchez is back out for the sixth inning. That one surprises me a little bit here, but he is at 93 pitches here after five innings, and Don Mattingly saying go out there for the sixth inning. Sanchez's outs prop was 18.5, and I recommended the under. We didn't play it, but that was, you know, one of my leans, just because I did not think he was going to go. He's not going to go into the seventh inning. I didn't think he was going to come out here for the sixth inning, but with a 6-3 lead and just getting to it, he's gotten out of a lot of jams so far here in this game, but he only gave up three runs so far in that top of the fifth inning, hoping to get a clean sixth inning here, maybe lower the ERA a bit. I would imagine Mattingly has a short leash, though, if he does get into any trouble here in the sixth inning. He does get the leadoff batter to ground out. So one out here in the top of the sixth. Phillies with the 6-3 lead over the New York Yankees. Sanchez's ERA now 2.74. He is currently, the odds have changed. He is now plus 950 to win the National League Cy Young Award. So prior to this start, Sanchez was tied in the market with his teammate Zach Wheeler and Chris Sale of the Braves at plus 750, the co-second favorites to win the National League Cy Young behind Jacob Mizrowski of the Brewers. But with a, you don't want to call it subpar, but a lackluster performance here, giving up, okay, three runs is okay. And if he gets one more out here in the sixth inning, it's going to be a quality start. Six innings, three runs allowed, quality start, congratulations. But he's gotten into a bunch of jams here. He hasn't looked as sharp as he has been for, you know, his season here at home. Three runs, of course, is, a sizable amount. Thankfully, his offense has backed him up here. But Sanchez goes from plus 750 to plus 950 now to win the NL Cy Young Award. Jacob Mizrowski's minus 260 as the favorite. Now, it's not as crazy as the minus 550 he was at the All-Star break, but it's still crazy. But after his performance earlier here on Sunday, it might not be so crazy. Yes, the biggest reason why I said I don't want a piece of Jacob Mizrowski to win the Cy Young is because the Brewers have publicly stated that they're going to monitor his innings for the remainder of the season. They skipped his last start before the All-Star break. They skipped his first start after the All-Star break. And then he only pitched four innings in a start against the New York Mets, and he went five innings today against the Rockies. But today was a special day. Jacob Mizrowski struck out the first seven batters he faced today against Colorado, 12 of the first 13 batters, and became the first pitcher since 1920 to have 11 strikeouts without a hit allowed in the first four innings of a baseball game. The dude is putting together a historic season now. And I use the term sensationalism. the sensationalism of Jacob Mizrowski with the 103-mile-an-hour fastball, the fastest recorded pitches on record, and the high strikeout numbers is going to be enough to sway voters' opinions, even if he doesn't go beyond the fifth inning for the remainder of the season. His ERA is the lowest in baseball. His Sierra score, which is his skill interactive ERA, is the lowest in Major League Baseball. His strikeout rate, his whiff rate, is the highest in Major League Baseball. And to strike out the first 7 batters of a game, to have 12 of the first 13 batters you face strike out, to throw 66 of the hardest pitches of the game, and all of them be between 100 and 103, 104 miles per hour, the sensationalism of Jacob Mizrowski is going to be the reason why voters vote him to win the Cy Young Award. Unless Zach Wheeler goes out here and throws complete game after complete game and sways the voters. Listen, I already have the bet on Wheeler. I would love for that to happen, but it's going to take a lot here down the stretch for Wheeler to surpass Mizrowski with just the cartoonish numbers that we're seeing from Miz and the performances that we have seen from him. I want to remind you guys, the NFL preseason is starting, about next week or so, right? August 6th is the Hall of Fame game. This is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next week. You can get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, division races, and player props. And then on August 3rd, you're going to get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from VSiN experts. You'll also get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl with daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app before the price goes up on August 1st. Head to vsin.com/subscribe now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Coming up next, we are going to talk about the bad teams in the NFL. The teams we want to fade. The teams that we think are going to finish last in their division. Who's going to have the most losses? Who will end up with the number one overall pick? Our very own Nick Whalen, co-host of Prop Points here on VSiN, also senior analyst over at RotoWire, will join us coming up. We'll also get his thoughts on LeBron James in Philadelphia, how he is playing the Sixers. We're already on the over 50.5 wins. But does Nick have another way he wants to play the Philadelphia 76ers coming up this season? I know Michael Fiddle earlier on the show gave us a great idea about Joel Embiid and the three-pointers props, but we'll see what Whalen thinks coming up. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Keeping an eye on Sunday Night Baseball. It's already been a very profitable night for us. In fact, we are, 3-0 here on the night, looking to make it 4-0 with our live bet on the over 10.5. And right now it is 7-3. The Phillies have scored a run here in the bottom of the sixth inning, but they do have two runners on and nobody out. So we need one more run here to cash our live bets on the over 10.5 and make it a clean sweep 4-0 here on Sunday Night Baseball between the Yankees and the Philadelphia Phillies. We are talking a lot of football here on the program. We did some college football, transition to the NFL. And I want to bring in now our very own Nick Whalen, co-host of Prop Points, senior analyst over at RotoWire, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Because, Nick, I was teasing how everybody seems to love talking about the teams that we like, the overs, the teams we want to bet to finish in first place, the futures bets that we want to place on who's going to win. We so rarely hear people talk about the bad teams, and that's what I want to do with you here tonight on this show. The bad teams in the NFL, the teams that we're fading, the teams that we want to bet to have the fewest wins or to finish last place in the division. So let's start with some of these teams, Nick. And who do you think is going to end up with the fewest wins in the NFL this season. The favorite up on DraftKings is the Arizona Cardinals, followed by the Miami Dolphins, and then a little ways down, the New York Jets and Las Vegas Raiders.
Well, first of all, I am honored to be the bad team's correspondent who we bring on to talk about the dregs of the league. And look, I'll say this, Scott, the league is really deep right now. I think there are as many as seven divisions where you could say there are at least three teams in that division who are expecting to make the playoffs this season. The AFC East would be the exception to me, where you only have two. I don't know what we do with the NFC South, where all those teams to me could go in just about any direction. But the point is, there aren't a ton of free wins out there. There aren't a ton of opportunities for these bad teams. And to me, there's a group of five who are kind of on their own at the bottom of the league. It's Arizona, Miami, Vegas, the Jets, and the Cleveland Browns. I know the Atlanta Falcons, I was a little bit surprised, are closer to that group than I would have expected if you're looking at last winless team or fewest wins, things like that. I have a lot of concerns about what the quarterback position is going to look like for Atlanta, but I don't put them in that category. So if we're looking at fewest wins, you know, first of all, I don't think we see an 0-17 team, but I will say that the Miami Dolphins could come close. I mean, you talk about a complete sell-off this offseason. It's one of the worst pass-catching groups that we've seen in recent memory. You have a completely anonymous defense. I would challenge anybody in your life who says they're an NFL fan to name like one starting defender on this Miami defense. You have a rookie head coach. You have a first-time starting quarterback. The ingredients are there for a disaster season down in Miami. And look, I don't think the schedule really helps them out. I mean, if you're just looking at the raw 17 games, and you say, all right, which ones would I circle that are truly winnable, that I could say, all right, I think the Dolphins could be leading this game in the fourth quarter. One of them is at the Raiders, and it happens to be week one. So if you're looking at, you know, the last undefeated team market, that is something that you have to consider. They could win that game. And then, of course, they get the New York Jets twice, but that's about it. So there's a reason that the Arizona Cardinals sit at the top of the list. You know, obviously, they play in a very tough division. They'll be big underdogs in all six of those games. I just looked this up earlier today, Scott. They are at least a touchdown underdog in their first 11 games of the season. It's not until week 12 against Washington where they are just 4.5 point dogs. So the expectation is this team is going to be terrible. But I will say this, that you have a competent quarterback, at least, in Jacoby Brissett. I know they went, 1-11 with Brissett last year, but they were in a lot of those games. I think there is a lot of talent on this offense. That defense could actually be better this season. They've invested a ton on that side of the ball, but the schedule is really tough. You know, they get the Jets at home late in the season. They play the Raiders at home in week 17. Other than that, there are virtually no games that you would circle and say, yeah, I could see the Cardinals winning that. So I would look at Arizona in the last winless team market because of how front-loaded that schedule is.
I think your point on the Dolphins is really interesting because they could be a team that, I understand Jeff Hafley brings over Malik Willis, right? And it's like, I know what the guy's capable of. He certainly was a very, you know, suitable backup, and he could win you a couple of games. But I don't think anybody's going to believe that Malik Willis is like the long-term solution there in Miami, right? So this is a team that could be in the mix for the number one overall pick and a quarterback this next season. And for, you know, an offensive coordinator in Bobby Slowick, who obviously is, you know, the Shanahan tree, and for Hafley, who, you know, is in that tree as well, I would think that they would like to kind of mold, have a guy that they can put in their mold, right? And I don't know if Malik Willis is that guy. So maybe it's tank for Arch, tank for, you know, whoever, CJ Carr. I don't know who it's going to be as the number one overall pick, but maybe that's what's in the best interest for this Dolphins team moving forward, is to get that number one overall pick and draft a quarterback for their franchise future.
I think whether they are intentionally doing that or not, they're going to be in the running, right? Like there's no world to me in which the Dolphins are winning like six or seven games.
Yeah.
I think the best case scenario might be four or five wins. And, you know, with the way the NFL is structured right now, maybe that gets you the fifth or sixth overall pick. But as the season goes along, especially if Arch Manning or one of these other quarterbacks, you know, really separates himself as a true number one overall pick, we got to have this guy, then yeah, maybe you kind of change your stance a little bit mid-year if you're the Dolphins. And look, I like Malik Willis. You know, the flashes that we've seen over the last couple of years in Green Bay have been extremely encouraging. I think he's being set up to fail. You know, like what quarterback could succeed in this setup? And I know we always say, well, he has a familiarity with Hafley, and that is true. And I'm sure Hafley endorsed the addition of Malik Willis, but Jeff Hafley was the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, right? It's not like it's an offensive coordinator bringing his guy over.
Dolphins up on DraftKings, you can bet division wins. In the AFC East, their total is 1.5. It is juiced to the over. Now, Bills, 0-2. Patriots, we know the Patriots have a difficult time sometimes going down to Miami, but that was the Belichick era. Likely 0-2. Do they split with the Jets? Is this an under 1.5? It's even money, under 1.5 division wins for the Dolphins.
I think it's got to be an under. It's got to be an under for me. I know, look, it's the NFL. There's going to be games. There are probably going to be two or three games that I'm chalking up as 20-point losses for the Dolphins where they're in it in the fourth quarter. They had that crazy win against Buffalo last year that they had, you know, really no business winning that game. So there will be those opportunities on the schedule. But, yeah, I don't see it. I'm really surprised that number is minus 125 to that over 1.5. I guess maybe you sweep the New York Jets, but I think there's at least going to be a floor. Maybe I think there's going to be a floor for the Jets this year that maybe fell out last year when they were on quarterback number two, quarterback number three. I'm not a huge Geno guy. I think he was a big part of the problem with the Raiders a year ago, but there at least is experience there. There's some pretty appealing talent, I think, on that offense for the New York Jets. You're running it back with Aaron Glenn. It can't be any worse than it was last year at head coach. So I wouldn't sit here right now and pick the Dolphins to win both of those games against the Jets.
Yeah, I think that the under 1.5, especially at even money, is going to be a play for division wins for the Miami Dolphins. We're talking to our very own Nick Whalen, co-host of Prop Points here on VSiN, the RotoWire senior analyst, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's shift gears because we got about 2.5 minutes left here in the segment, Nick, and I want your thoughts on how you're going to be betting the Philadelphia 76ers now that they acquired LeBron James. They are the third favorite, tied with the New York Knicks, to win the NBA title behind the two Western Conference powerhouses in the Thunder and the Spurs. Their win total is at 50.5. Is there any way that you want to get at this team, whether it's in the futures market or maybe just in props, looking at the players, how they're going to fit with LeBron James on the floor?
Yeah, first and foremost, I would say I don't think I'm willing to take the over 50.5 on the win total. We've seen this with other LeBron teams in the past where it could be a little clunky at first. You know, when he went to Miami in 2010, I don't know what the win total was. It was probably high 50s, but we expected that team to just dominate from the jump. And it really wasn't until the middle of that first season where things coalesced. I mean, you suddenly have a lot of mouths to feed in Philadelphia. And I think the other thing is the Sixers will likely be very aggressive in season, managing LeBron's workload, managing the workload of Joel Embiid, if he is even healthy and available to play. The other thing I would mention is that the East is as deep and formidable, I think, as it's been in a while. And you got a couple bad teams at the bottom, as any conference would, but there aren't going to be a ton of free wins on the schedule. I think those top 5, 6, maybe even 7 teams in the East are all fairly similar. You know, it's not a given that you're just going to walk in and beat the Atlanta Hawks on their court. You know, same with the Detroit Pistons, teams like that. So I think the addition of LeBron means you are officially playing the long game if you're the 76ers. You don't necessarily need to be the number one seed. Even when LeBron was at the peak of his powers, you know, his teams were not winning 65 regular season games. It was about managing in season. It was about peaking at the right time. So I wouldn't be surprised, of course, if the Sixers win 52, 53 games, but that is not one I would approach. I don't mind looking at the Sixers to win the Eastern Conference. I still think they would be up against it against OKC or San Antonio. But the one thing I will say about this, I am in on LeBron to the Sixers. I think this is going to be really fun. It's kind of a switch up from some of the other decisions that he's made. It's probably the best roster on paper in the Eastern Conference, but you're ultimately tethering yourself to Joel Embiid's health when it matters most. So I will be curious, Scott, to see, do they try to get off of Joel Embiid at some point? Do they try to change that so it doesn't feel like, all right, we like where we're at, but it's still going to be fingers crossed that Joel Embiid can make it through one more playoff series?
That's going to be interesting. Maybe there's something that maybe Philly's not done wheeling and dealing, but LeBron James certainly makes them contenders, adds to their depth. You mentioned the deep roster. They added Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and others, so this is the deepest roster maybe in the Eastern Conference. Nick, appreciate the time and the insight. We'll be watching on Prop Points coming up this week here on VSiN and checking out all the work at RotoWire. This is Live Bet Sunday here on the Sports Betting Network.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Have yourself a night here on Live Bet Sunday. I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live. We go 4-0 for plus 5.65 units here on Sunday Night Baseball. As we cash Will Warren race to 3 Ks at plus 265. We cash Will Warren over 1.5 walks. The Phillies first 5 innings minus a half a run. And Yankees Phillies live bet over 10.5 plus 5.65 units, 4-0 night here on Live Bet Sunday on Sunday Night Baseball. As the Phillies lead the Yankees now 11-4 after Ben Rice just hit a solo home run off of Tim Mesa. So the Yankees not going down without a fight. A high-scoring affair here at Citizens Bank Park on Sunday Night Baseball. Christopher Sanchez got the start for the Phillies. He goes under his outs recorded prop. We didn't officially play that. It was at 18.5. He gets 18 outs, 6 innings, gives up 3 runs on 6 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He threw 101 pitches. His ERA risen to 2.73. Meanwhile, Will Warren got the start for the Yankees. He did win the race to 3Ks. He finished with 5 strikeouts, 2 walks, gave up a home run to Bryson Stott, and gave up 6 runs on 6 hits in just 3 innings. As Will Warren is on the hook here for the loss. Phillies up 11-4 here over the Yankees in the top of the 7th inning there on Sunday Night Baseball as Philadelphia looks to salvage the final game of this 3-game set. Looking at the standings right now, and game's not over yet, but we're going to give the game the result that it's likely headed towards. Yankees will sit 3 games behind the Tampa Bay Rays in the American League East standings. The Phillies will be 5.5 games back of the Atlanta Braves in the National League East standings. In the wild card race, the Yankees will be 6 games up on the Boston Red Sox for the first wild card in the American League. The Phillies will be 2 games up on the Diamondbacks for the second wild card in the American League, 4 games back of the Chicago Cubs for that first wild card in the National League. Looking at the rest of the standings here in the wild card race in the American League and National League, right now the Cleveland Guardians are holding the 3rd wild card, just a game up on the Minnesota Twins, 1.5 up on the Seattle Mariners, 2 games up on the Astros, 2.5 on the Orioles, 3.5 on the Tigers. Literally every team is in the mix in the American League, with the exception of the Angels, who are 42-64, 11.5 games out of a wild card spot. I'd say the A's and the Royals, who are both 9 games out, are out of the mix. And I'd even throw the Blue Jays in there, 5.5 games out, although 5.5 is not a lot. We talk about the Phillies being 5.5 games out of the National League East, thinking, hey, they can make that up. When you're chasing one team, it's different than chasing all these other teams above you. So yes, it's still the same 5.5 games. Not all 5.5 game deficits are created equal. Phillies can make up a 5.5 game deficit if they just have a good series against the Atlanta Braves. The Blue Jays making up 5.5 games in the American League wild card race is going to take a lot, because they have to leapfrog a whole bunch of teams. But with all of these teams in the mix, it makes the trade deadline here in Major League Baseball very interesting. Because there's not going to be a lot of sellers. In the American League, we're talking about 3 sellers. And if you're the Detroit Tigers, you're sitting here 3.5 games out of a wild card spot. Even in the division, which the division stinks, you're only 6 games out of the division. Yes, you're still chasing the Twins and the Guardians as well, but I don't think anyone's a believer in either of those teams. The Twins have a negative 27 run differential. The Tigers probably don't want to trade Tarik Skubal, because they still think they're in it this year. They still think they can make the postseason this year. So there's no sellers really in the American League besides a couple of teams. The National League, a little bit of a different story. Yes, it's still deep. The race is still included, including a bunch of teams, but there's more sellers in the National League. Right now, Diamondbacks are the 3rd wild card. Pirates are 1 game back. Nationals, 1 game back. What a story they've been. Cardinals, 1.5 back. The Padres, as bad as they've been, are only 2 games back. The Marlins are now 3 games back. They've lost 12 straight games. Reds, 5 games back. I'm going to say the Reds are out of it. Giants, 10.5. They're out of it. Mets, 11 out. They're out of it. Rockies, 13.5 out. They're out of it. So your sellers. Mets are going to be big sellers. A lot of pieces available on the New York Mets. Giants are going to be sellers. Robbie Ray will be dealt to a contender. The Marlins going to be sellers now. They've lost 12 straight games. Sandy Alcantara will be dealt to a contender. There's more sellers in the National League than there are in the American League because there's more teams in the American League that think they have a chance to make the postseason. Whereas in the National League, I think we draw the line at the San Diego Padres. And honestly, I don't even believe in the San Diego Padres with their negative 21 run differential. So I think we might actually have to draw the line above the Padres and to go with the Cardinals. Cardinals, Nationals, Pirates, Diamondbacks. Those are the teams that are going to compete for the third wild card. Phillies and Cubs are playoff teams who might actually be contending for their divisions. I know they're a ways back, but Phillies are 5.5 games back after tonight chasing the Braves. Cubs are going to be 7 games back of the Brewers. 7's a lot, but like I said, it just takes like one series and you're back in it. If we look at the remaining schedule for all of these teams, okay, let's look at the Cubs, who have 7 games left with the Milwaukee Brewers. They're 7 games back of the Brewers. Now, I'm not saying it's likely to happen. We know it's not likely to happen. But you have 7 games left with the Brewers. If you win all 7, you make up that deficit. It's as simple as that. You win the division if you win all 7 games against the Brewers. Because you're probably going to match them or whatever for the rest of the schedule. If you're the Phillies, you have 7 games left with the Atlanta Braves. You don't have to win all 7. Same thing with the Cubs. You don't have to win all 7 of those games. Win 5 out of 7. If the Cubs and Phillies win 5 out of the 7 games that they have remaining with the Braves and the Brewers respectively, the race becomes very interesting in both of those divisions. And I think that it's something that you have to pay attention to when you are betting these futures markets. It's not just about, oh, I think this team's playing good baseball now and they can get hot down the stretch. Or, oh, I think this team is going to be aggressive at the trade deadline and can go out there and get a piece. Maybe it is a starting pitcher. Maybe it's bullpen help or a bat, whatever it is, and they can make a run. You have to look at the remaining schedule because the games that they're back doesn't matter more than the teams that they play against. The teams that they play against matters. I don't care that the Phillies, let me rephrase this. I would care a lot more, and it would be a lot more of an issue for me if the Phillies were 7 games back or 6 games back and they only had 3 games left with the Atlanta Braves, or they had no games left with the Atlanta Braves. That would be a concern because now we're talking about them having to be a lot better than the team that they're chasing down the stretch over the course of both of their seasons, the remainder of their seasons. But the fact that you have all those games against the team that you're chasing, it changes your outlook because it's doable now. You can win those games and surpass that team. The Yankees have 4 games left with the Tampa Bay Rays. So yeah, they're going to be 3 games back, but they have 4 games with the Rays. That's how you make up ground in the Major League Baseball standings. Now, again, if you look at the schedule and you see that they don't have games against the opponent, it's a lot more difficult to surpass them. Keep that in consideration when you're looking at the futures board. Hey, Winner Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away 2 incredible prize packages that will put 2 lucky fans in the world's biggest football contests for free. One winner will receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, another a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Both winners will also receive a full season of Winner's Circle Proxy Service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd for your chance to win. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Contest season's here. I mean, it's going to be incredible. We have Ultimate Contest Weekend still to come, right? Bet Bash is coming up here next week at Circa. Like, think about all the entries that we're going to see into these contests over the next couple of weeks here in August, once the calendar flips to August. we've already had a good number. It's on the board behind me, good number of entries, and it's only going to get bigger. This guarantee this year that they're guaranteeing here at Circa is going to get larger. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSIN Live as Live Bet Sunday continues here on the Sports Betting Network.